just a very small part of it. I know you're going to be blessed if you're back here next Sunday morning to see the rest of it now. We reached back and got another old one. It's on hymn number 194 if you want to join in with us on the Jericho Road. If you like four-part harmony, this is one of them.
Church is over on this side. Here you go. There you go. Be careful. Everybody's dressed up so nice. Okay. The time of the year that we live in, Christmas time, is what you make of it. It's when we normally people give gifts and receive gifts, and that's what this is a box wrapped up as a gift. And can anybody tell me here, what do you hope to get as a gift for Christmas? Anybody know what they want for Christmas? What do you want, Jace? What? A bike? Oh, an easy bake oven, is that what he is? Okay, yeah, well, he's going to be a chef. What do you want, Percy? A what? A marshmallow shooter. Okay. Sounds like these need to swap gifts. But marshmallow shooter. Okay. Gatlin, what do you want? A what? A Wii? Okay, which that's a video game console for some. Well, I've got a gift here. But the only way to know what's inside the gift is to open it. Is that right? To open the gift. Percy, I'm going to let you handle opening this gift. All you got to do is lift the lid. It's got a lid on it. See that? See the lid? You open that up for me. Here, you hold it. Okay, pull it out. What is in there? A cross. The best gift of all is Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so the best gift of all is the cross on which Jesus died, paid our sins, rose again 3 days later. And some of you have accepted Him as your gift from God. He's a gift. It's free. You know, that's the best thing about a gift is that it's free. And that's what makes it a gift, or else it wouldn't be a gift. So I'm so proud of y'all. Let's everyone bow our heads and close their eyes. Father, I thank You so much for the gift of salvation, which You gave through Your only Son. Father, I thank You this time of the year. I know the world secularizes or makes Christmas a selfish thing sometimes. And I pray that we would take the time out to remember that the way we look at Christmas is that it's about Your Son, the gift of His salvation, the gift of Him being born and given to mankind. And I thank You for that gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all did really great. Yeah, Miss Lisa's got it. Y'all walk that away if y'all are headed that way.
Miss Catherine has a special this morning.
Where
Oh, what a beautiful song, and that is just so great and awesome. Appreciate Miss Catherine. We have so many people in our church that use their talent for the Lord, and I'm thankful that they're so willing. And I noticed that Brother Norman or whomever recruited some extra help in the choir, and thank you. And if he recruits you, thank you so much for being recruitable and getting up in the choir. Appreciate all the choir members that help out in singing. We have several that weren't in the cantata this year that maybe were last year, and due to time constraints or previous commitments, maybe they weren't able to be there. Going to be preaching out of a passage this morning in the book of Luke, chapter 1, as we head into we're already headed into the Christmas season. And again, like I said in my prayer with the pastor pals, it's kind of what you make out of it. And the world has taken Easter, even though we don't know the exact day that Christ was born or the exact day of, as far as date that Christ died, we celebrate these two events as Christians this time of year. Christmas is being secularized. It has been being secularized for years. Matter of fact, I remember the big uproar. Remember years and years ago when the, and really I looked into it one time, and it's been the abbreviation Xmas does have, even though Christians said, well, you're taking Christ out of Christmas, it really has a kind of a Christian theme, even the abbreviation does. And so it's hard to take Christ out of Christmas. And then the past several years, it has been people changing Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays and taking it out that way, not even saying the word Christ, even though Christ's Mass has a Catholic history to it. I want to take it and just celebrate the birth of my Jesus. And then again, so it is what you make out of it. A lot of people during Easter just worship the Easter Bunny, and I know they don't worship the Easter Bunny, but they do, because that's all that they look at. That they just Easter eggs and candy. But we look at it, that's talking about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it's all what you make of it. The world puts its spin on it. And if you're a fan of O'Reilly, we're looking at the no spin zone. So we don't want a worldly spin on a godly principle. And this morning, I've never preached, out of all the years in the ministry, I've never preached on this particular passage in Luke chapter 1. I've referred to it, but I've never preached directly from it. I'm excited about it for two reasons. Number one, get to preach a passage that I've never preached before that I can recall. And then also, I've got my brand new Bible, and I'm so excited. I've been using a couple of Bibles that I've had for years, but I wore my old Ryrie out, and I bought it in 86. Matter of fact, 87 was the last time I ever bought a Bible in my life for me. And so it's been over 20 years, and so I'm excited about the new Ryrie here, and because it's the format I'm used to. And I put my other one back in the box that this one came in, even though it's full of notes, and Miss Frances knows how hard this is. She knows where I'm coming from. She and I have talked about it. But I took all those notes and I boxed them up and I put them up. And I'm going to try to start all over. And if I've done it once, I can do it again, I believe. So I'm going to try to do that. But to a Bible student, you know where I'm coming from on saying that. So, it smells good. It looks good. So let's get started. Luke chapter 1. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And let's just stop there and just talk about these things real quick. And what I call, what an honor. It is a great honor to be considered for a lot of things. Matter of fact, Taylor wrote an essay and sent in, and there were thousands of applicants from all over the country. They chose two from every state in the United States, and she was picked to go to, it's called the Congressional Academy in Washington, D.C. So you say, what an honor. That's an honor. Or you're picked for some other honor. Many of our young people here have gone to boys' state and girls' state, and that's an honor. They apply for this and that. You apply for a scholarship, and you get that. That's an honor. You apply for this, and you get it, and it's an honor. You get to meet some famous figure. Oh, what an honor to meet you, sir or ma'am or whomever you may be. It's an honor. And so think about this. God, out of all the people in the world, God picked a lady by the name of Mary. And she was from, or at this particular time, from Nazareth. What an honor. And, a lot of us, we look at the Christmas story, and this morning for a little while, we're going to look behind the scenes at what an honor it was to be selected. Right now, it seems like the past 10 years or so, or longer than that, there's big thing has been reality shows. And applicants, American Idol, A Survivor, all these reality shows, and people line up, thousands of applicants, and they get picked for this reality show. Well, folks, this was reality, and nobody knew they were in the running for it, but God looked down, and He hand-picked Mary. Most of us, when we think of the Christmas story, we think of Luke chapter 2. And that's the one we read. It's just one page over in this Bible. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed into his own city. And so, you just read the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. Okay. This is the scene behind the scenes. The story, of course, is the birth. The famous figures of the story are we say three wise men. We don't know how many there were, do we, Dennis? So we just go by that, by the gifts. There was three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What about the shepherds? How many of them were? I don't know, but they showed up. Matter of fact, they showed up at the manger, and or the barn, or wherever you want to say. And and all these famous people. A lot of people say, well, there had to have been animals there. Well, yeah, there probably could have been animals there. And so the famous, this is all before that. Well, and then later on, Mary is going to visit her cousin Elizabeth. They're going to talk about this and get together and giggle and just like ladies do and talk about, you're pregnant, I'm pregnant. Wow, this is just awesome. And John the Baptist was there and he's going to be born. His name's going to be John, and his name was picked. And guess what? Jesus's name was picked. And so they're all excited about this. The angel Gabriel here, and I just want to talk about him for just a second. It says here in verse 26 that the angel Gabriel was sent from God. This, if you read Matthew's account, it describes over there. Matter of fact, if you will, let's head there and talk about the angel visiting Joseph, who was Mary's fiancé. And so they're engaged. It says back in our text that they were a spouse. That's the Jewish phrase for engaged. It was just as binding. Once you became a spouse, like some people, and y'all know of some people, I do. Have you ever known somebody that's engaged and then they break off the engagement? Oh, man, that is so sad. They broke off the engagement. But did you know, to a Jew, the only way to get out of the engagement was just like a divorce? an engagement was just as binding as marriage covenant. And so you don't just say, well, I'm breaking it off. No, not to. If you're espoused, it's before the marriage ceremony. And so they're getting ready to be married. The only way out of it, matter of fact, and he was wondering about what has happened to my wife here, or my engaged wife. Now let's read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or after this manner. When his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph before they came together, before the marriage ceremony, before, as the Bible says, he knew her, they had marital relationships, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is Matthew's account, kind of same story, looking at it from a different angle. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, why? Adultery you could have been stoned for, because that's the first thought that entered into his brain. Oh my, what? My fiance's, what is she, who's she been seeing? She's pregnant. And he didn't understand how or why. And then it goes on to say, was minded to put her away privately. And of course that means to avoid conflict. That's kind of what Tiger Woods is hoping to avoid, but you can't do it when you're the most famous golfer on the planet. Okay? But this is not sin, Tiger Woods' sin. Okay? But while he thought, oh, and he brought those things on himself. All right? But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord. Now, most believe that this is Gabriel's going around doing all of these announcements. And so Gabriel, we know he's named here in Luke chapter 1. And looking at this count here, it just says the angel of the Lord. So we can only assume the identity of this particular individual. But anyway, so he has an announcement to Joseph. Joseph, thou son of David, because he was the house and lineage of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then it goes on to say, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive, or shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. But notice this key thought, and he knew her not, talking about having marital relationships, until after the birth of that son. What does this tell you, what I say here, what I call Mary's description in looking at this verse? She was, number one, we're going to look real quickly at the wife and the husband. It says here she was a virgin, a spouse to a man named Joseph. Back over there it says he was a just man. You have two God-fearing people here. Matter of fact, if you continue reading this whole story, the poem that she states, which is a mixture of Old Testament verses, says she was well-educated lady in the Old Testament. She started naming descriptive phrases of God there in the last part of this chapter, talking about Luke chapter 1. And so, she's a just lady. He's a just, and just means right with God. That's what I mean by just, okay? And so, it's an honorable visit by an angel. The Bible says, Gabriel, I am he who stands in the very presence of God. That, imagine, God sends you a physical being, somebody that's from the very presence, I mean the throne room of God, and he sends that messenger angel. Matter of fact, there's only three angels named in the Bible, and it's Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. Now, later on, there's a name, but I think it's more of a description given to an angel that's bound in chains. He'll be loosed during the end times. His name is Apollyon, which means destroyer. A lot of people say that these first three angels are archangels. Gabriel, Lucifer, that's Satan before he fell. It means bright, beautiful, shining one. And Michael are all archangels. Now, that could be. But the Bible only calls one angel an archangel, and it's in the book of Jude, any chapter you want to read. And it says there that Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil about the body of Moses. Well, guess what? So you just call it what the Bible calls it. Michael is called an archangel. But Gabriel is definitely a pretty powerful guy. He has the not only a specified name, but his name even means man of God. Moving on, what I call Mary's man was Joseph, and he was a good man, but he was not the father of Jesus. The next part I want to just take off with verse 28 through 33, what I call an honorable message. And let's read it together. And the angel came in unto her and said, now who's the angel? Gabriel. You follow me? Get down here amongst you. You are too comfortable. Verse 28. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And that word there, that phrase, we'll get on it in just a second. In other words, that means grace is about to be bestowed upon you. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is giving you something you don't deserve. So you're going to be given grace. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. In other words, who is this and what are you talking about? That's basically, in summation, what this Mary was thinking. The Bible tells us what she was thinking here. So she's, wouldn't you be upset if you're sitting there crocheting? All of a sudden an angel pops up, whoop, hey, guess what? I'm from God. And you're thinking, oh boy, who is this? And what's he got to say? But notice the message. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, this is all future tense, obviously. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. So not only you have an honorable visit to an honorable lady, that's Gabriel visiting Mary, espoused or engaged to Joseph. He has an honorable message, which means this is good news. I mean, it's bad whenever the telephone rings and it's bad news, but now God sends the first cellular service, angel coming down, personal delivery with a message that this is going to happen. This is what God wants to do in your life. Wouldn't it be great if that's all it was? That we could all have an angel come down and tell us exactly God's plan for our life. An angel just comes down to your house and tells you this is what God wants to do with your life. And you'd say, well, I've been scratching my head all my teen years. But now I know because an angel's come down and told me God's plan. I put there, the Lord is with thee, verse 28. I love that phrase, the Lord is with thee. You know what that means? You're saved and you're walking with the Lord. You cannot say that unless those two things have taken place. Highly favored is the same highly favored or the phrase found in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, I quickly want to hit that, knock it out. There we go. And it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. In other words, because if you've chosen Christ, He hath made us accepted. In other words, given you grace that you did not deserve in the Beloved. And how did He do it? In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. The all three of our children, Karen and I, had the opportunity, like most everyone does nowadays, to find out what you're going to have. So excited whenever I heard about Chuck and Michelle. There's others that have had babies or going to have babies, and you find out what you're going to have. And I was always kind of surprised whenever we would go into the hospital and the nurses there in the delivery room would say, "Well, what's on the agenda for today? What are we having?" And we would tell the nurses, with all three of ours, we never knew. Never did want to know. We enjoyed the surprise. The doctor looked, made sure everything's okay. We didn't want to know anything. Didn't find out. And we would say, "Well, we don't know." And the nurses would say, "We don't know. Oh, that's wonderful. We don't know." And that, you know why? Because the nurses would get excited because when the baby comes out, they say, "Oh, it's a boy," or "It's a girl," or, you know, whatever the case is. And so they get excited because they get to make the announcement. Well, guess what? First time in history, first time ever in history, no ultrasound needed. Not only did they know what they were going to have, they even didn't even get to pick out the name. God, hey, who had the privilege of naming His own Son? God did. He named Jesus Christ. His name shall be Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And so they're like, "Well, there's no surprise. We know it's going to be a boy, and we even know His name." And so, as you find out here, that John the Baptist was already 6 months ahead of Jesus, and they knew His name also. Now, the next part, verse 32, just hit it pretty quickly. It says here, "He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto Him the throne of His father David." Now, what does that mean, that Jesus would have the throne of His father David? Of course, that's through His stepdad's lineage. He came out of the tribe of Judah, which was the kingly tribe. That's the same tribe David was from, going all the way back. The first time Jesus was here, He was on this earth approximately 33 and a half years. Did He ever sit on a throne? No, He didn't. So when will this take place? Well, it hadn't yet, but it will one day. As most people look at it, during the millennial reign, whenever He will be not only King of Israel sitting on the throne, but He'll also be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Moving on. What I call an audible question and answer. Let's pick it up in verse 34. Then Mary, okay. Now, before I move on any further, you must know this. The angel Gabriel is delivering a message on what God wants to do, plural. And I want to compare this to what God wants to do in your life. God already sent a message, more than one messenger. He sent about 40 different messengers who put down God's Word. This is God's plan for your life. It's called the Bible. Someone came up with a neat acrostic one time, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I like that, okay? This is God sent His Son. This is your game plan. You don't have to have an angel Gabriel come down, even though that'd be handy, and tell you what God's will is. But number one, I know what God's will is for your life concerning heaven. God wants you to be with Him forever. And that's why He sent His Son. Now, verse 34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" In other words, I've never had marital relationships. I've never had intimacy with a man before. He goes on to say, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall, future tense, hadn't happened yet, come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. In other words, she's not pregnant yet. When this message is being delivered, Mary is not had the seed of God planted in her. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. In other words, they didn't think she'd have any more. And all of a sudden, you can, of course, read that story previous to this here in this same chapter. And then it says in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Verse 38 is the key verse of this whole message this morning. Please listen up very closely to what this is about to say. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, in other words, I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. If God would have planted His seed inside of Mary without her permission, that would have been rape. Okay? God came down, shared His story, His burden with Mary. Verse 38 is a key verse. What does she say in verse 38? She says yes to Jesus. It's all future tense until then. At that particular time, how pregnant was Elizabeth? 6 months, the Bible says, very plainly. I don't know how long it took. A day? 2 days? 4 days? 5? Ever what? God placed His seed in Mary after she said yes. Because listen, that fits not only this pattern, but it also fits the pattern for your life. Unless you believe in predestination, in other words, God picks some to go to heaven and some go to hell. How do you get Jesus? Spiritually. Now, Mary chose Him to receive Him physically. To be, if you will, the surrogate mother or the mother. Nowhere in the Bible does it say she's the mother of God. That's more of a Catholic statement. She's the mother of Jesus. And she had placed in her physically, because Jesus wasn't a phantom. This was an actual crying, kicking baby, spit up, diapers. That's enough. I don't need to say any more. This is an actual baby being placed inside of Mary. And guess what? She said yes to the message. Now, I'm a messenger of God, called of God. I'm no angel. You can ask Karen. But guess what? The message is still the same. What will you do with Jesus? It's your choice. You do not have to accept Him. I think Mary could have turned God down. Now, He, of course, knew that she wouldn't. But He still said, this is what I'd like to do. And the key verse, again, it says, be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, it means allow it to happen to me. And so, God did. And He said, this is His will. Well, let me ask you this concerning Jesus. Some of you in here may have thought about Him. You may be considering Him right now. What are you going to do with Him? It's your choice. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Son of God. He is without question perfect. He lived a perfect life so you could claim a perfect promise, which is salvation, a home in heaven. Have you ever told God yes? Have you ever said, I am a sinner, and that's the reason Christ had to die? He died for my sins and for your sins. Your pastor is just a filthy sinner saved by grace. That's all I am. And I don't even deserve heaven. There's no one in here that says, well, I feel like I'm pretty good. I deserve heaven. The Bible says your goodness makes God nauseated. The only thing that pleases God is to see the blood of Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What are you going to do with Jesus as we prepare for a hymn of invitation? Father, as we bow our heads, just help us. There's someone right now that's considering your Son. Help us to see the need, to see that just as Mary said yes to you and your plan, it doesn't mean that all of mankind is going to do the same. Matter of fact, some have vehemently rejected, just straight up rejected your Son. Now there's maybe one here, Lord, that, and you know their heart, you know all of our hearts. And they say, well, I've never rejected Him. But if we've never opened your gift is still sitting there unopened. We truly haven't accepted it. I pray that it would be open today. We would truly accept you as our Savior because we need you. I cannot get to heaven without you. And may I just share that message with others, just like Gabriel shared the message with Mary. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we all stand and turn to page number
383.